Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, March 13th, 2019. I'm Mary Sherman. We're featuring several stories today, including in the wake of a deadly crash, the FAA says there's no basis to ground Boeing 737 MAX 8, a hearing set to question President Trump's attacks on national monuments, and wealthy and famous parents charged in a college admission scheme. Our top story, the latest on the Ethiopian plane crash that killed 157 people. Daniel Elwell, the acting administrator of the Federal Aviation Administration, said it has conducted a review of the Boeing 737 MAX 8 and found no basis to ground the aircraft. And the company's chief executive says the pilot of the downed flight had flight control problems shortly before the fatal crash. All aboard the plane died when it crashed soon after takeoff on Sunday. It was the second time in less than 6 months that a 737 MAX 8 was involved in a fatal accident. Today, a congressional oversight committee takes up the federal government's dismantling of national monuments in Utah and other western states.
The House Natural Resources Committee, led by Arizona Democrat Raul Grijalva, hears testimony from elected officials, tribal representatives, and conservation advocates. Most are backing new bipartisan legislation aimed at shoring up the Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante national monuments and other public lands. Nicole Croft, director of the Grand Staircase Escalante Partners, says reducing the size of the two Utah monuments has put thousands of artifacts and fragile environments at risk.
There are over 700 significant paleontological sites that were cut out of the monument. And for a landscape that was set aside for conservation, to see it stripped so gratuitously of those protections is very alarming and concerning.
The Utah monuments border Arizona and New Mexico. The committee is investigating President Donald Trump's December 2017 removal of protections from the two national monuments and hears testimony on two bills, the Antiquities Act of 2019 and the Bears Act. Mark Richardson reporting.
A bill to increase funding for Montana's outdoor recreation sites has passed the state Senate and moves on to the House. Senate Bill 24 increases the voluntary vehicle registration fee for state parks from $6 to $9, estimated to generate an additional $1.8 million each year. The revenue would be used to maintain state parks and fishing access sites and create a trail and recreational facilities grant program. Senator Terry Gauthier introduced the bill and says it would help tourism, Montana's biggest revenue stream.
The better we can make Montana look from a parks perspective, more people spend money in the restaurants, they come and recreate, and Montana really comes out ahead on the revenue side for all the money that's spent here, actually turns into revenue for the governor. I think it's a great program. It's investment in the state of Montana.
He says Montana's deferred maintenance costs for park upkeep currently stand at $22 million. Now to Kentucky, where people with felonies in their past are rallying in Frankfort, calling on Governor Matt Bevin to reverse Kentucky's permanent ban on voting for those convicted of felonies.
More than 300,000 Kentuckians can't vote because of a felony conviction, according to the latest report from the League of Women Voters of Kentucky. In November 2015, outgoing Governor Steve Beshear issued an executive order to allow for restoration of voting rights through an administrative process. But his successor reversed that order shortly after taking office. At 68, Deborah Grainer of Frankfort says she got involved in voting rights activism after realizing the impact not being able to vote has had on her.
You've made a mistake somewhere in your life. You've turned your life around. You paid your dues. And the one big thing that you have is vote. Here in Kentucky, it's taken away forever.
In Kentucky, they can only have their voting rights restored through an executive pardon from the governor. I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
A coast-to-coast FBI probe alleges that a network of celebrities, business executives, and other powerful figures is at the center of a massive bribery scheme to secure admission into some of the country's most elite colleges. Among the defendants are nearly three dozen parents, whom federal prosecutors are charging with conspiracy and other crimes, for reportedly using hefty sums of money to get their children into schools such as Yale, Georgetown, and the University of Southern California. The parents include public figures, including actresses Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin, who are said to have paid hundreds of thousands and sometimes millions of dollars per child to a fixer who would then use the money to allegedly bribe certain college officials or other conspirators to help secure the child's admission. Thousands of gardens across the state of Florida are playing a vital part in saving pollinators and the nation's food system. Tramell Gomes has the story.
The Million Pollinator Garden Challenge was launched in 2015 as part of a nationwide call to revive collapsing bee colonies and improve the health of birds, bats, butterflies, and other pollinators. The challenge was to register a million new gardens through the National Pollinator Garden Network and through the efforts of schools, garden clubs, and mayors promoting community gardens. The goal was exceeded by 40,000 gardens. Mary Phillips with the National Wildlife Federation's Garden for Wildlife program is a co-founder of the network.
Florida really stepped up. As a matter of fact, the Miami, Fort Lauderdale metro areas contributed almost 20,000 pollinator gardens to this effort. And the Tampa, St. Petersburg areas were also very high with close to 5,000.
Phillips adds, one in every three bites of food is a direct result of the work of pollinators. And research shows even small-scale gardens can increase pollinator abundance and diversity.
Thanks for newsin' and cruising with us. I'm Mary Sherman for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.